there. And if not, try to find your way to Acts chapter number 3. And we're going to read the first part of this. And we'll probably read through verse number 11. Miss Tracy, if that'll help you out any, we'll go down from chapter 3, verse 1, down through verse number 11. If you're in Acts chapter number 3, excuse me, I want you to say amen. All right, let's begin our reading. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." All right, amen. I like that passage of scripture. There's a lot to it. There's a lot that I ain't got time to preach in it. But I do love this passage of scripture. I think that it shows a lost man's condition very well. I think that if you looked at it with a spiritual eyeglass on, you can see that as a lost man, the condition of a lost man is helpless on his own. He needs somebody to lift him up. He's fallen short of the glory of God, according to the Bible. All of us, as a matter of fact, according to the Bible, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need somebody to come our way and to lift us up and to give us strength. Anybody agree with that? I think that it's a perfect picture of a lost man. A condition that this man was in, which did not come about because of something he did. According to the Bible, he was in this condition from his mother's womb. According to the Bible, wherefore by one man, Bible says, sin entered into the world, and that sin was passed upon all men. And so we know that because of Adam's sin, you and I are born with this same condition. Is everybody all right? And so we see that if you look at this through the glasses, through the spiritual glasses, we can very much see a lost man. There's very many similarities, and we can take that and we can run with it, and we will at some point. I want to say this, that Jesus this morning will lift you up. I want to say that if you go in this chapter and you do some reading and you look for the names that are in this chapter, the names that are the formal names that are mentioned in this chapter equal a total of over 20. I think it's around 27, but I do know that it's over 20 names that are used, proper names that are used in this one chapter of Scripture. But the fact is, there's only one name that does anything for anybody. Right? And that's the point, and we'll get to that here shortly. But I do want to preach just for a few moments on this, but I want to look at it through spiritual glasses, and I want us to see it in the life of a saved individual. Is everybody all right? And say, now how can that be? And I believe that we'll find some similarities here, and maybe you've come in this morning, and maybe you need lifting up today. Maybe you come to church this morning and you need somebody to come your way and to help you out of the fix that you're in. And so we'll look at this and with the mind and the thought of him dealing with someone that is saved as well as someone who is lost. I want you to take a note with me and look with me if you will. We're going to look at the lameness of this man. I got to hurry. Seems like I went on I didn't go on vacation. I went and preached in Kentucky and then went to the camp meeting and preached in Tennessee. And I came back and my sermons are about 2 hours long now. And which y'all need it, but we're going to try to cut that down. I'm going to do my best, I promise. I promise to do my best. I ain't promising you're going to get out early, but I will promise to do my best, so let's get right into it. I want you to look with me, if you will, at the lameness of this man. All right, this man, according to the Bible, he was lame from his mother's womb. I want you to notice that he was disabled. I want you to notice that he was dependent. He was dependent on others for anything that he had. The Bible tells us that this man was laid at the gate of the temple. This gate was called Beautiful, but this man was laid at this gate every day of his life for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to collect alms from people that were going in for prayer, for people that were going in to the temple. And so he was very dependent. He was dependent upon others. He was dependent upon, when I say others, I mean other people. Does everybody understand that? So this man was disabled. This man was also dependent upon others. But I see this man as being defeated. I see this man living a life that he probably thought, I'm never getting out of. He probably thought, this is my lot in life and it can't get no better than this. And so every day, according to the Bible, he was carried and he was laid at that gate and he could not move. He could not do anything but hold up a cup and ask people to put money in that cup as they went into the temple. Now Peter and John, they come to the temple in a time of prayer, an hour of prayer, according to the Bible, which was the ninth hour. And when they got there, he asked an alms of them. And Peter made this comment. He said, silver and gold have I none. Can I say this? No matter if Peter had silver, no matter if he had gold, it would not have helped that man any more than he had been helped for the last 30-something years of his life laying there by the gate. It ain't silver and gold that you and I need to help us along our way. We need somebody that'll take interest in us, somebody that'll take time for us, somebody that's more interested in helping us in life than just helping us in an immediate need. And so this man's lameness, I thought about this man and I thought every single day he woke up in the same condition. Every single day there was aspects of his life that were different. He was dressed different more than likely every day. He might have had on a new shirt. He might have had on some new pants. He might have had on some different shoes. He might have had on a different hat. But every single day it was the same place. Every single day he was placed in the same predicament. Every single day he woke up and nothing changed, even though there were changes. And how many of us has been there? You get up, and though you may change your clothes, though today you might have changed your attitude, though tomorrow you might have changed your hairdo, though the next day you might have changed some other aspect of your life, every single day that you get up, you find yourself in the same place. There's so many Christians that are living disabled. Is everybody all right? I ain't talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. There's so many that are living in a state of disability. Not because they're not able, but they have a mindset that I can't. Somebody better hear me this morning. I want to help you. I promise you I do. We're living in a day and time where you give me anything to do outside the church and I'll attempt it. You give me anything to do inside the church and I'll excuse it. Moses could kill a man with his bare hands and did. Moses could lead the sheep and be a shepherd all over the backside of that desert. Moses was greatly learned according to the Bible. He had great knowledge and education. We know that he was a sure enough a man if he killed a soldier with his hand. Is everybody all right? Moses had all kind of abilities, but yet when God embraced him and enlisted him in ministry, Moses said, I can't. Y'all, this is better than I thought it was going to be. I didn't even ask. Is everybody all right? It just got better than I thought it was going to be. I didn't have Moses in this sermon at all, but the Lord kind of laid it on my mind that, hey, Moses could do all these things, but when it came to ministry, Moses said, I can't. God said, oh, yes, you can. I'll help you. Send somebody else. I don't want nobody else. I want you. I'll speak for you. I can't do it. He argued with God so much that God got upset with him. How many of us got God upset with us? Let's just be honest with it. Well, preacher, I would do this, but I can't. Why can't you? Well, I can't because I got to do this or I got to. Man, I'm going to tell y'all, disability in our spiritual life is detrimental to our growth in life. There's some Christians that have been in the same place they've always been because they've never got up off the floor. They're sitting there, comfortable, complacent, asking for a handout from the Lord every now and then. Oh, I need somebody to help me. He was disabled. He was dependent upon others. They come to church. This is preaching a lot better than I thought it would, Brother Scott. They come to church to watch everybody else. Oh, I sure love our choir, but I can't be a part of it. All right, this is going to be a 2-hour sermon. If you need to leave, you might want to go ahead and do it now, all right? You beat all the traffic and get out there to the fried chicken. We sit in a service and we watch what's going on. We say, oh man, they sure bless my soul, but I can't. We sit in there and watch Sunday school go on and we complain about this or complain about that in Sunday school. And when you get an offer and somebody says, why don't you teach? I can't. We see things going on around here and man, we like to say, y'all are doing a good job, but we don't want to get involved. We're dependent upon others. How many people come to church depending on somebody else? You come to church depending upon somebody else to get you excited about serving the Lord. You come to church to depend on somebody else to feed you. That's why you leave and you say, well, I didn't get fed today. Let me go ahead and help y'all out with something. I ain't never sat down at a table where there was food and left hungry. Now, if you do that, I'm going to tell you what you are. Dumb. Everybody all right? Yeah, you dumb. You sit down at a table and the table full and you don't get full, you don't eat. They ain't but one word for it. You can go and blame the cook all you want to, but you dumb. Is everybody all right? Well, I just didn't like the food. Hey, we're working. We're going somewhere. That's good. Because it's all right not to like the food, but you can't say that you didn't get fed. I need somebody to help me. Mama throw liver on my plate. I didn't like the food, but I could not say Mama didn't feed me. I didn't like it. I didn't want to eat it. Mama throw salmon patties on there. Everybody all right? There ain't enough ketchup in a bottle to make that taste good. Is everybody all right? Is there easy now? Nothing. Hey, somebody open up a can of sardines. They're like, is everybody all right? But don't be talking about you ain't, don't be saying you ain't fed. You may not like what's being put on your plate, but don't say you ain't been fed. And here's the problem. The real problem, if you get down to it, is you're dependent upon everybody else for your spiritual growth. Some of you need to go ahead and take, what is it called? Somebody help me, give me the word. You need to take responsibility. Nobody said it. I did it myself. Thanks a bunch. You need to take responsibility for your own spiritual growth and pick up a fork, pick up a knife. I need some help, and put some food on your plate and then eat it. Well, I like this preacher better than this one, and I like this preaching better than that one. And hey, you got your favorite. I get it. But from your spiritual walk, your favorite ain't helping you. Ooh, is everybody all right? Yeah, from me, just judging from out here. Me judging from right here, say you're not supposed to judge, preacher. Let me put it this way. Me looking at your spiritual walk says that your favorite preacher, he's horrible. If your favorite preacher can't get you motivated to come to church, then I guess either he ain't good or it wasn't about him anyhow. That was good. I just go ahead and say that again. I don't know what I just said, but I'm going to try to say it again. What did I just say? Roll that tape back now. I don't know what I just said, but it was good. Make sure I get that. All right. I don't know what. Thank you. Somebody got it up there. Who's that? Miss Tracy up there? Tracy said, I wrote it down. You can bet on that. All right. How many of us are dependent upon somebody else? Ain't about them. Is everybody all right? I'm going to prove this. Now, we said that. See, this wasn't even part of the message, Bro Scott. This just got good, all right? This wasn't even part of it, but it was Peter and John that he was looking at. But Peter and John, as great a preacher as he was, I mean, 3,000 people got saved. I'm just going to throw this out there. That's pretty good. He must have been a pretty good preacher. I mean, I preach my guts out. I've sweat. I've had a bloody nose while I'm preaching. I've been preaching so hard. And I've never had more than about 7 or 8 people get saved at one time. 3,000 people got saved from one sermon. A sermon that he didn't even put any study into. That was a good one. Hey, write that one down too. That Lord just gave me that. Amen. Hey, Lord, give me all kind of stuff. Somebody better listen this morning. God's working because none of this was in that, all right? Sermon he didn't even study for. 3,000 people got saved. And here he is standing before a man that needs help, a man that's dependent on others. And you know what he said? Silver and gold have I none. In other words, there ain't nothing I can do for you. Peter would have said it like this. As great a preacher as I am.
Yeah, come on. That's right. Yeah.
With all my many followers. With my social media footprint. I can't do any. If you're going to get up off of that floor right there. It's going to be because Jesus helped you up. Ain't that something? I'm thinking that there's a lot of preachers that have that same attitude. And I'm thinking that a lot of us get hung up on delivery and how all that mess goes down and we miss out on the message. We get so hooked up on the messenger, well, he ain't lively enough. He preached too long. He's not pretty. He's old. He's too young. Is everybody all right? When it ain't about him to begin with. It was never about him. I got to rework this whole thing. He was disabled. He was dependent, but he was defeated. How many Christians are living a defeated life? Things have never changed for him. Things have always been the same from the birth. From their birth, nothing's changed. You put different clothes on them, a different routine going to church, but nothing's changed. At the end of the day, they still sit disabled, dependent, and defeated. Right at the edge. Right at the gate. Right at the entrance of where they could get help. That close. Every day of his life, laid in the same place. That close. That close. Every day, dependent upon everybody that came in that temple. But never, never getting the help he needed. How about it this morning? Are you living a life that's got you laid down, dependent upon others, defeated, disabled? But I notice this, his lameness, number one, but I notice number two, his looking. His looking. He was lame and there wasn't nothing he could do about that. He was lame and it was something that was just, he was born with. It was lame and it's something that he really couldn't get out of on his own. But I want you to look at his eyes with me, if you will. According to the Bible in verse number 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. I got to thinking about this man and I got to thinking about this gate and I got to thinking about this scenario. And I imagine that he saw Peter and John at a distance. But by the time they got to him, the only thing that was up was a cup. I got a feeling just from the story and just from Peter and John saying, look on us, that his eyes were, might not be, don't take it as 100% because I wasn't there and you weren't. And Jesus didn't let us know really, God didn't tell us exactly what was going on, but from Peter and John's reaction to this man, I'm taking it that his eyes were down. I got my mind thinking, how many of us got our eyes on our problem? See, his problem was he couldn't walk. And as he sat there, I wonder if he looked at them legs while he held that thing up. And I wonder if he thought, man, if I could, I'd walk into that temple with him. If I could, I'd go in there and praise God with him. If I could, I'd go in there and pray with him. But the problem was that this man had his eyes on his problem. He couldn't take his eyes off his problem to realize, number two, his potential. Amen. Oh, I need somebody to help me now. Hey, he had his eyes so much on his problem that he didn't realize that he had potential. Now, all his life, he'd sat in the same place. All his life, he'd been laid in the same place. But that was not the purpose that God had for his life. God sent somebody by his way. God sent somebody that he could see, he could talk to, he could touch, he could feel. And they said, hey, I ain't got no silver and gold to give you, but such as I have, it'll help you. And I'll give you every bit that I got. And that is Jesus Christ. He got his eyes on his problem and he missed his potential. Now let me say this, it would have been just as powerful of a story if the man had got saved and never walked. Alright, y'all better hear me right here. It would have been just as much a powerful of a story if he'd have gotten saved and never walked. God just lets us see him work in his glory and we let him see this miracle. He lets us see this miracle be performed. But don't miss this. The power of that miracle was not him walking. The power of that miracle was a changed life. He had potential. But he couldn't see it because his eyes wasn't on his potential. His eyes was on his problem. And let me say this, that goes along with our point number one. His eyes were on people. His eyes were on people. And say, preacher, that sounds contradictory. I know it does, but listen here. For 30 something years of his life, he sat there looking at people and as they come. And if us as a Christian, if all we're ever going to do is look at people, oh, that preacher's coming. Oh, that Sunday school teacher. Oh, that choir singing. Oh, that care team worker. Is everybody all right? We'll never get out of the place where we are. His looking had his eyes in the wrong place. He had his eyes on his problem. He had his eyes on people. He had his eyes off of his potential. He missed it. Can I say this morning? No matter where you are in this scenario, if your eyes are in the wrong place, you're going to miss it again this morning. If you don't have your eyes in the right place, Jesse, they're going to miss it again this morning. And you'll sit by that gate called beautiful another year, another 2 years, another 5 years, another 10 years, another 20 years, disabled, dependent upon others, and defeated. This morning, you realize that you got potential. God has a purpose, but that purpose will never come to fruition in your life as long as you have your eyes on your problem and as long as your eyes are on other people. We need to get our eyes off of this. Get our eyes on, look at that. That's a cross up there, man. I didn't know what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Get our eyes on this. Quit looking at all of our problems. Amen? Amen. Good. I ain't changed my watch. It says 1:16. I'm like, man, it's been good this morning. Been good this morning. Amen. I'll preach the last one or two. We see his lameness. Is that you this morning? We see his looking where you got your eyes this morning. We see his lifting. We see his lifting. Can you take me to that verse? Verse number 4 or 5, somewhere in there, I think. And gave heed in them. Keep on. There we go. Right there. Verse number 7. And he took him by the right hand. Don't ask me why. I should have studied that out. And I could have wowed y'all like your favorite preacher with some stupid stuff that I come up with off of Google that really ain't true. But I don't know why he took him by the right hand, as you know, in the Bible it's a symbol of strength. But anyhow, he lifted him up. According to the Bible, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I don't know what I wrote down on my iPad, but this is what the Lord's giving me right now, so we're going to run with it. He was sitting there at that gate. Brother Scott, I need some help. He was sitting there at that gate. I don't know how long. I'm saying, wait, y'all can't even see nothing, can you? That's your own fault. Should have sat at the front instead of the back. Ha ha ha. Say there wasn't no room at the front. You gotta get here early. Everybody alright? You gotta get here early. If you want a front row seat, you gotta get here early. Of course, that's usually backward than Baptist churches. You gotta get there early if you want a back row seat. We have some of them. But anyhow, alright. Laid at a gate, lame on his feet, nothing but a cup. Somebody comes his way, lifts up the cup. The Bible says he took him by his right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The lifting of this man was an act of faith that I think is missed in a lot of preaching. This man had not walked, had not been in any condition but what you see me in right here. Forever how many years of his life, according to the Bible, it was from his mother's womb. So, I think, and I might be wrong, this might have been the man that was 38 years. We'll just go with that. Is everybody okay with that? For 30 plus years, he laid there, unable to move his feet, unable to get up, unable to go to the bathroom, unable to do anything but lift a cup up. Peter and John comes by and says, silver and gold have I none. I'm betting. I know you're not supposed to bet in church, but y'all bear with me. It's better than a lottery. I'm betting. That was good. Y'all just didn't like it. I'm betting that wasn't the first time he heard somebody tell him, silver and gold have I none. Uh-oh, right. How many times have we passed by somebody? I ain't got nothing. Knowing you got a pocket full. I ain't come to preach that, but it was good. He sat there. I wasn't the first time he heard it. But for whatever reason, John or Peter offered him a hand. And this man that had never walked before in his entire life had never experienced strength in his ankles, in his feet, in his legs, took Peter by the hand and allowed him to lift him up. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a lot of faith. Because I'm thinking that if that strength doesn't take place, he's going to be back down.
You know why it was the right hand?
Why?
That was the hand he held the cup in.
Oh, that's a good one. He says it was the right hand because it was the hand that he held the cup in. But he was from the tribe of Dan, so it's probably left hand. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was good, Brother Scott. So he lifts him up. Everybody all right? He lifted him up. I want you to notice, I appreciate you saying that. So we're going to go where Brother Scott said. For him to get up, he had to let go of something. See, if you want help, you got to lay something down. And so we're going to go with that. Is everybody all right? He had to turn loose of something. He had to have faith to reach that hand out and be lifted up. And I think the problem with a lot of Christians are we're not operating in faith, and therefore we're lame, laid in the same place, disabled, dependent upon others, defeated, looking at our problems, at other people, eyes off of our potential and purpose. This morning, no matter who you are in the story, whether you are a lost man sitting in the same condition, needing to be lifted up, or whether you are a Christian in the same condition, needing to be lifted up, this morning, she's going to go to that piano for the last point. Here's the lesson. I didn't read these verses, but if you go on reading, according to the Bible, he went into the temple, leaping and praising God. According to the Bible, he healed Peter and John. According to the Bible, a crowd gathered on Solomon's porch. And according to the Bible, if you'll go on and read farther than what I did, people started ascribing this power to a man. Peter and John. Go to verse number 13 or 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" What's the lesson here? The lesson here is it don't matter what preacher it is up here. The lesson is it doesn't matter what Sunday school teacher it is. The lesson is it doesn't matter what motivational speaker it is. There was only one name in this whole chapter that had the power to save this man, had the power to lift this man, and that name was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peter didn't play around with it. He didn't act like there was anything special to him. He said, "Why are you looking at me? I didn't do anything for this man. It was God. It was Jesus who did this for this man. I need somebody to help me." Somebody needs to get a hold of Jesus before we leave out of this building this morning. Because some of you has been laid around close. You've been laying around close. This far. Right at the gate. This close. Wanting to get in, but you ain't. Wanting to get involved, but you couldn't. Just laying there disabled, saying to yourself, "I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it." Sitting there saying, "There's no defeated. I'll never be able to. Nothing's ever going to work out for me. Somebody going to have to carry me in that temple." And God's saying, "No. If you'll have faith, turn loose of what you got. I'll pull you up out of your condition. And you can go into that temple. You can go into that place. You can go into your purpose. You can go into your potential. Leaping, running, and praising God." Don't lay there any longer. Heads bowed with me. How many is coming to the altar? Come on. There's some Christians in here that need to get on the altar. Because you've lived a life defeated. You've lived a life allowing others to dictate where you're placed, where you sit, what you do. All the while, God is wanting to turn you loose. All the while, God is wanting to lift you up. All the while, God is wanting to do something great in your life. You have purpose. You have potential. But you'll never realize that as long as your eyes are on your problem. As long as your eyes are on other people. This morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I said this morning at the beginning of this thing that if we look through spiritual glasses, we could see it as a lost man. We could see it as a saved man. But this morning, just for a moment, while these are on the altar praying for their spiritual growth, I want to deal with that first man. That one who's lost. That one that's a sinner. That one that, according to the Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That one man that says, "There is none that is righteous, no, not one." Maybe this morning you walked in here crippled, defeated, wanting to know, "God, what do you have for me? God, will you take me?" I want to say this. Nobody's moving around right now. Heads are bowed. God wants you. God loves you. You want to see the love of Christ? Go to the cross. God gave himself for you. And this morning, you can walk out of here leaping, jumping, praising God. But it's your choice. You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I was to die this morning where I'd spend eternity." If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor and lift your hand. Just lift it up. You ain't
just enough where I can see it. That's all I'm asking, preacher. I'm not sure this morning that if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. Is that you? Just lift it right up. You ain't got to lift it high. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to send anybody to you. It's just me looking. Is there anybody like that anywhere in the building? Be honest with the preacher. I do not know. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Nobody's looking around. I don't need no help. It's just me. Anybody else, just lift your hand right up. Preacher, I do not know. I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to pray. Now, this ain't a prayer for your salvation. I want you to understand. But I'm going to pray because I don't want you to leave in the same condition you came. And so this morning, I'm going to pray, if you'll let me. Those of you on the altar, I thank you. If you need to go back to your seat, you can. But our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you in prayer, God, we thank you for the message this morning. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the power of your word. God, as we look at this morning, Lord, I think we can see a little bit of ourselves, no matter our spiritual condition. I think that those that are lost can see themselves. Lord, I believe those of us that are saved can see ourselves in this scenario and in this message and passage of Scripture. Lord, there's been one that for sure has said, I can identify as a lost one. I look at my life and I don't know that if I died where I would spend eternity. Lord, I want to say there's more than likely there's more than one. But only one raised a hand. Lord, I remember the day that I was there. And Lord, I remember what you did for me. And so Lord, the best way I know how, Lord, I'm going to give an invitation like one was given to me. Lord, I'm going to trust you for the results. I'm going to ask you to continue to work. I'm going to ask you to continue to give strength and courage. And I'm going to ask you right now to do something that I'm unable to do, and that's to save them. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed still, if you raise your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not sending anybody to you. This is a decision that I had to make. Everybody in this church had to come to at some point in their life. But this morning, if you will, let me. I'd love to take a moment and pray with you. I'd love to take a moment with you if you'll let me do it. Pray for you and then let somebody... I got somebody to take a Bible and show you. We can sure this thing up. You got doubt? We can sure it up. We can show you. And you make a decision for yourself. Preacher, I need to be saved. Or preacher, I'm already saved. I want to invite you this morning. Just like I was invited. To get up out of your seat. To walk down this aisle and meet me. I'll meet you halfway if you'll come. It is your choice. There's nobody looking around. It's just me. If you'll come this morning, I'd love to help you. But it is your choice. The Lord's a perfect gentleman and He will not make you do anything. And neither will I. I love you and I want to see you saved. But it is your choice. Say, preacher, I don't know if I can do it. I want you to know something. September 28, 1997, I sat on the second row of a church in the same conflict. And the Lord saved me. My life changed. My purpose changed. My potential changed. God did a work that to this day I still don't regret. And is doing a work to this day that I am so glad he is. Won't you come this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for our services, our Sunday school hour. I thank you for our choir. Lord, what good singing. And Lord, what good ministering by our choir. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the message of this morning, the conviction of this morning, Lord, not leave us too soon. God, I pray as we go home, and Lord, I pray it'll be on our minds. Lord, I pray that we'll look back at this service and Lord, not forget it tonight. Not forget it this afternoon over lunch. But God, that it will resonate on our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray that at some point today, maybe even before we leave this property, Lord, they get this thing settled so that they would know when they died where they'd spend eternity. In Jesus' name.